Well, good to be with you guys as you watch by video or if you listen to this by audio. This is going to be the first of a weekly coaching session, I guess we could call it. It's going to be very informal. I plan to look at my notes to be able to interact. It's not like a talk by any stretch of the imagination. I've been doing this obviously for years, and every year it seems like the learning curve just keeps going up, learning more and more about how to effectively lead a group. And so it's been suggested that I spend time so that leaders within our church and beyond could jump in here a week early. I'm staying 1 week ahead of what a lot of churches will be, and certainly our church on our schedule, so that you'll have an opportunity to listen to this and implement anything you choose. I hope the way you'll use this is that you will prepare your own week, your plan for that week, and then listen to the things that I'm suggesting and what I'm going to do, and you might better yours by taking some of the things that that I'm suggesting. I've done this with a group of people that I've been coaching over the past years in a small group, and I found I learned as much as they learned by listening to their ideas as we all came prepared and shared our ideas how to make a week as effective as we could possibly make it. So anyway, I hope this is going to be of help to you. I'm going to touch on a list of different issues and things that I think important on this week one as we kick off. One of the observations that I had was that a lot of the people just didn't even know to get The Answer, for instance, which is the book that everyone reads in the first few weeks, and they weren't aware of that. And we're going to make that clear through our materials and so forth in the future. But just be sure that you understand this first week is going to be one where people are still trying to get on the page with you. So, now, also one of the things that I found important to do was to reiterate a couple of more important things, such as the standard by which we're trying to hold our group to. And as I've said in the orientation, to the degree you raise an appropriate, healthy standard and you hold to that and make people stick to that degree your group is going to be a good and helpful group. So go back over the essentials of your covenant and what you're thinking through, what you're committed to, and so forth. One of the things that I like to ask our leaders, all of us, is to consider again and again what your role is. If I ask you, would you consider your role as a group leader, or as a moderator, or as a teacher, or as a fourth category, maybe we'll put the words discipler, coach, or trainer. Which would you say that you see yourself as? And unless it is that latter, discipler, coach, or trainer, you want to rethink your role, because your role is to help your people get from where they are to where they need to be. So very important that you set that bar very high and you keep it at that appropriate place. One of the things that I wanted to do with our guys this week was to explain to them that the first 6 weeks are going to be a little tougher than the balance of the year. And it really is. I likened it to maybe the first few weeks of football practice. Guys relate obviously to that, and the ladies, you might think of a different illustration if there is one, but the point being that it's really tough those two-a-days, but you take the first weeks and you hit it hard. And so there's going to be extra reading and extra MP3 listening that you don't have the rest of the year in the same volume. So tell them just to persevere, know that it's going to be as hard as it gets the first few weeks. Also, go back over the importance of these first few weeks, that these are the basics, these are the fundamentals, and to get these fundamentals down well is very, very important. I shared the story of a friend of mine who had played basketball in high school and had a very poor team his junior year. The senior year he came back and said they had no better talent. They were just pathetic, not weren't good at all. And their coach, I think, died or had a serious aneurysm of some sort and was not able to coach after week one. And so they had to go get, I think it was the tennis coach, to be the basketball coach of this high school. And the coach said, I know nothing about the sport of basketball. And so he went to his players and he simply said, well, you know, tell me what your coach did on Monday, what did he do on Tuesday, what did he do on Wednesday? And of course, it was just fundamentals. That's all they spent their time on. And so he said by the end of the year, still no plays, no scrimmaging, All they did were the fundamentals, shooting and passing and just the fundamentals every day. The same Monday, at the end of the year, they were doing the next, that same Monday. As it turned out, they won the state championship, and he said, everybody on our team learned a good lesson, and that is the great value of fundamentals. We're going to be hitting the fundamentals. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through with you what I did during my night last night, and just give you a little feel of how it went for our group, and you can use this as you choose. Here's what I did. We opened in prayer, and I opened in the prayer. I realized that I have new guys in my group that may not feel comfortable at all praying out loud. I know that's an issue, and I don't want them to be thinking they're going to be called on. So if I call on someone else, they may think they are. Next week or so, I'll call on somebody to open in prayer perhaps, but it'll be someone who's been in my group already. And if you've got a new group, then you might want to ask, does anyone feel comfortable opening in prayer, and let them make that call. But I want them to know that I'm going to walk them through learning to pray, and they don't have to be at any level when they begin. So we open in prayer, and then I had everyone go back around and share their name, what year they are in the group, if they're first year or second year, depending upon your group, that will vary. Family members' names and ages, children, and then occupation, and then a hobby. Do you have any hobby, something you're really interested in? And so that took a few minutes to walk around with our group to do that. Then I had two of us to do our spiritual journey. Let me just show you how I've done my spiritual journey. There's no right or wrong way. Everybody's going to do it a little bit differently, and that's perfectly fine. I use this as neutral in spiritual experiences, and it doesn't mean you're a Christian. Somebody might be growing up in a home that's very ugly spiritually, in that it's very religious and it's a turnoff, or maybe it's a very positive religious experience. But I put neutral as I'm born here and come into my early days. Religion was actually okay. Church was fun. I had a good little youth group as a child and so forth. And then I began to see the church I was in was kind of a negative experience. Really, it was a lot of do's and don'ts, and it wasn't very attractive. And the older I got as a teen, I just wasn't that interested. And at that point, in my high school, beginning high school years, I put my star, and we asked people to put a star wherever they come to faith, where they think they probably became a Christian. Some people don't know. And by the way, some people are going to change that location from year to year. They look at it the next year and reevaluate and say, you know, I don't think I was a Christian as early as I thought I was. But I came to faith here my early high school years, had a very positive experience spiritually through college. My parents divorced at this point, and I shared with my group how actually my spiritual pilgrimage enhanced going through a hard time with the divorce of my parents. When I went to seminary, oddly enough, went down because faith became very academic, and it was hard to make the faith alive during that academic emphasis time of seminary. Then planted Perimeter Church. That was a very stretching experience spiritually. And I said, really, from there on, I've just used kind of a generic, you know, line up and down, ultimately going further up, but with lots of ups and downs through the time, nothing significant there to mark my spiritual journey. And so it took me about that long to do it with them. And then we pause and say, well, do you have any questions? Would you like to ask anything about my spiritual journey? Then I had one other person, and I used someone that was in the group previously. If you've got someone that's coming back, let them always go first to model. And then we did the same, and then we asked questions about his spiritual journey, and then told everybody, be prepared, because next week we'll be letting two more of you do it. And so we take a couple every week and just get to know a few in a better manner. So after that was completed, then I discussed a bit about disciplines, and just shared that we're going to be emphasizing in these next weeks various spiritual disciplines. We talk about gospel living, and I want them to understand the gospel, the good news of what He has done for us. And that though we're going to be focusing on some disciplines, particularly when we get into grace commitments next, there's going to have to be an understanding that what we're doing is focusing on disciplines, but never with the mindset that these disciplines are what brings the favor of God. It's through the disciplines that we grow our faith stronger, but it's because of the love of God that we get involved in these disciplines. And so I challenge them, every time you start focusing on the discipline of prayer or scripture study or whatever it may be, scripture memory, please do a heart evaluation and think, do you really understand why? Not just what you're doing, but why you're doing what you're doing. Always go back to evaluate that. After I spent a few minutes talking about that, I had then discussed with them about the first 6 weeks going to be a little tougher than normal, and we walked through that. Then we got to scripture memory. And when we got to scripture memory, I spent a little time talking about the why of scripture memory. I wanted them to understand that it's not just about memorizing. I shared with them that what many of them will do, unless they guard against it, is they'll come to the day of their meeting that evening, perhaps, if it's an evening group, and they'll start memorizing real hard so that they can just get it out at the group, which is an indicator that they're doing it for the wrong reason. The reason that we really want to memorize is so that we can meditate, really. It's a meditation. I use the illustration of a cow that chews its cud, and we use the word, that word can be used to refer in meditation to the same concept. It's where the cow will take its food and will chew it and get nutrients from it, and then will swallow and put it in a first little stomach pouch and then bring it back, chew it and get more of the nutrition from it, and do that several times, and then it goes into its lower stomach before it's eliminated. In a very similar way, many of us just don't memorize well. And I told our guys, I said, you know, I'm not one that memorizes well. I have a very analytical mind, but not one that's very quick on memorization. I tell a story of my own experience where I was discouraged trying to memorize scripture, and how a spiritual leader shared with me that I was really to the advantage not getting it so quickly, because I have to go over it and over it and over it and over it for me to actually memorize it. But what I'm doing is actually meditating through that time. I shared a little bit about my own experience of how, as a young Christian, I asked a very mature believer, I said, if I can do only one thing to grow up strong in the faith, what do you say that I do? And that person said, you meditate on Scripture. Memorize and meditate. And from that time, I've been having a discipline of just memorizing Scripture and meditating on it. And it's so hard for me to memorize that I actually go over every verse about 100 times. And every time I do five, I do it, quote it five times. I'll put a little notch for five. And I make sure that I do it 100 times during a week. And that gets me to the point that I know not only have I memorized it, but I've meditated well. That may be extreme. A lot of people may not want to focus that much on the exercise of memorization. But please help them understand not just what we're doing, but why we memorize. And after 3 years of being in a group, they're going to have about 100 different verses that they've memorized, and they're going to be very important texts that will guard their hearts and prevent, and bless them in a big way. Then we went around, and I just had this first week, though normally everyone goes around and shares their scripture memory. I just had a couple of my old-timers do it, just to model it, and so that the newcomers weren't put on the spot the first day one. But next week we'll let more do that. Then we took just a minute for some miscellaneous things about turning in their covenant. I told them they got one more week, and then we need the covenants turned in if they haven't already. I actually have a policy with my guys that I want them to call me if and when they find out they can't come on a given week. They call me as soon as possible so I know they're not coming. And then they have the responsibility to call me afterwards to have a phone conversation of what we went over and make sure they understand and they've done their work and so forth. So that's a little accountability there to have a little phone call afterwards. We make a roster where everybody can put their email address and telephone numbers and children's names and wife's name and so forth, so that we just have a good concept of information we can pass out the next week. I'll have it copied, and everyone gets a copy of it, so they've got everybody's information by next week. There are a few events in our church that I went over that I think are important that I hope that they'll be a part of in the coming weeks, we have like a men's retreat and a compassion in action and different stuff that our church is involved in. And I say this is not required, but you know, let's just see if we're going to do it. Let's do it together and just see what we can work out in that regard. We also had the idea last night, let's get our wives together with us as soon as possible so that we get to know each other's families. So we're going to do that coming up. So just a few miscellaneous, whatever comes to your mind. Then I got into the truth and equipping. Here's what I did. I went to the last question on page 4. If you have your materials, I'll encourage you to look at that with me. I took those questions, looked at page 4. The very last question, what do you think Paul means when he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory? And we had a little discussion about that. People shared what their thoughts were. From that, I said, can you give me the first 4 chapter titles of the story of glory? Well, because many of them hadn't read the book because of a miscue on the assignments. Only some of our old-timers actually had done so and knew it. But I reviewed the story of glory, and I just walked through the 4 titles, first 4 titles, explaining, you know, that there is, we're designed with glory, how we are, there's fall from glory, explaining what glory is, that there's glory to God, glory from God, glory of God. We're talking here glory from God. And it has to do with renown and splendor and satisfaction that God gives us in Christ. And so we are actually brought into this world with it. Number 2 chapter title is Fall from Glory, All Have Sinned and Fall Short of the Glory of God. Search for Glory, number 3, and how, and we talked about that search, for how we're going after counterfeit glories and so forth. And then we talked about the discovery of glory, which is number 4. We meet Christ, Colossians 1:27, for Christ is the hope of glory. So walk through that, make sure they understood that. We had a lot of interaction on what are these counterfeit glories? Are they good things or bad things? And really shocked to see, well, a lot of them are the very good things of life that we think we have to have in order to be satisfied. Then I asked them, do you know the last 2 chapter titles of the story of glory? And deposits and withdrawals of glory and full glory. We discussed that, just the stuff that's in the book. We walked through explaining that. Then I had them read Romans 1, 21 through 23, and just to talk about the exchange of glory, how isn't it odd that God has given us relationship with Him, but what we've done is we've taken Him and replaced Him with His creation. And so I talked more about those counterfeit glories, and we talked about what it meant to repent of those counterfeit glories and how it means not just admitting it's wrong and being sorry for what we've done, but it's coming back to the open arms of a loving Father saying that your love is enough for me. And so then after that, we were going to discuss why pray and the MP3. We didn't do it in our group because so many had not actually read or listened to the tape, but or to the MP3. But there'd be a good discussion because people don't really grasp why do we pray? And the answer to that is just a reminder, we pray because it builds relationship, it begets peace, and it brings results. And that's the 3 major points there. And I want them to understand that we don't change the mind of God at all. But our prayer does change what happens. And though that's a mystery to us, we know we have not because we ask not. There is something about our prayers that's vital. But most importantly, it does build that relationship with our God as we talk to Him about the things important to us. So just walk through that, see if there are any questions about prayer. And then next, we went through accountability. I wanted to spend a few minutes just explaining to them that accountability is not just challenging bad behaviors. It's good to hold people accountable for bad behaviors, but what we want to do in accountability is try to find the sin beneath the sin. And so we actually went to one question in accountability. If you look with me at page number 8, we went to the last question. Complete the sentence, I find life satisfaction in glory from God plus. And what is it that you tend to add to your relationship with God to bring satisfaction? And try to identify, are they not counterfeit glories. And we had a good discussion about that. Then we went to mission. I only spent a few minutes as we're coming to a closure now on mission. I discussed the difference between word and deed. And I wanted them to understand that what we're doing is we're getting involved in the mission of Jesus. And Jesus had a mission to the world in which he lived. And it was to both preach and to heal. And we talked about how usually the healing comes first. That is our word and deed. Our deed is our healing, and our word is our preaching. And we need to have both. I shared how most of us will probably lean toward having a strength more in one than the other, but we should never eliminate the other. Find our main avenue in one, but the other is always vital. And that we're going to take little baby steps, beginning with deed, and then we'll end up in word, and we're hopefully going to give them tools that will help them become strong in missional living. I realize that the people coming first year in my group are always somewhat freaked out about mission. They think, oh no. One of my guys last night said, I have a relative who is just a wacko crazy Christian, I guess, but said, you know, always telling me you're going to go to hell if you do this, and just was a turnoff. And the way they talk to people about Jesus makes me think, I don't want to be a witness. Well, I realize a lot of people are coming with that stereotypical, you know, thought of what an evangelist is or whatever. I say, no, 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 we're going to do it in a way that's going to actually be very easy for you to grasp and hold on to. Then I want to discuss the concept of live, work, and play, and that's where we do our mission. And we talked about that, and I said, you know, in a few weeks, I'll probably ask you guys, where do you find your most probable effective field to engage in missional living? Will it be where you live, work, or play? And you'll be amazed, year to year, I find it almost evenly divided. One person says, my neighborhood's really a great place. And somebody else says, not for me. For me, it's where I work. Another says, I have a social club. It's very easy with my tennis team or whatever it may be. But major in one, but never forget the others. It's where we live, work, and play, always living out our faith. We talked a little bit about what that meant. And then we went to page number 10, if you look there with me in our books. I read the third question there. It says, what is your immediate response to the idea of following Jesus in his mission? Are you uncertain, eager, resistant, and so forth? And it was really interesting hearing, you know, one third year guy says, I was always resistant, but this year I'm eager. One of the new guys says, I'm very concerned, resistant. And we just had an honest, you know, discussion about that. Very helpful to see the different perspectives as people are coming into it. And then I asked just one or two to just read their prayer and the last question there on page 10. And that was very insightful as you listen to people's prayer. The last thing I did in mission, and some of you will be eager to do this and some of you won't, but I shared with them that the best way that I could ever help them would be for them to bring a non-Christian to join with me for lunch. Here's how I ask them to set it up. I say, simply tell them that you have a friend who is your life coach that's coaching you right now in life, and it's been a great benefit. Tell how it's been a benefit to you. Then what you do is you say, I'd love for you to meet him and or her, whichever your case may be, and hopefully they come. And I've done this year in and year out, and they can and they will find friends to come. It's amazing. And always surprised to see how the tools that we're going to be training you in over the year, particularly through Express Your Faith training, you'd be amazed how effective it is, and they will just be amazed. I'll tell you more stories later about that, but I introduced the concept to them now. I share a little Chinese proverb I was reading not too long ago. It says, what I hear, I forget. What I see, I remember. What I do, I know. And I can talk to them till I am, you know, I can talk to them forever about doing it. And they can hear it, but it ain't gonna happen. When they see me do it, they're gonna remember it. When they start doing it, they're gonna know it. And that's what we want to eventually get to. So I just introduced that to them so that they're prepared that we're gonna be walking through missional living. And I'm gonna challenge you guys. You work hard on that because it is vitally important that you get your people involved in missional living. We ended our time with a prayer, and again, I wanted to make it very, very simple. And I said, I want each of you who are willing to pray and open to doing so, to pray out loud, to just have a very short, maybe a sentence or two, and would you just ask God for something in your heart and life this year through being in the Journey group? And it was so sweet listening to these guys as they would ask God for, they just petitioned the Lord, would you do this in my life this year? Would you do this in my life? And then we were finished and made sure everybody understood their assignments for next week. And there we go. We're through, and it's a great evening. I hope you're going to have a great first week. And any way we can help, you can feel free to email our church and our discipleship staff. We'll be happy. You can email it to Jackie L. if you need to get it, you know, to me for some reason. If not, I may be able to, I have to push them off if we have too many, but we will get back with you. We'll make sure that you get responded to. Everything's at perimeter.org. So staff member, first name, initial of last name, and whoever that may be that you need to contact, feel free. And we hope that we can be of as much help as possible. So I hope you have a great, great first week. Lord bless you as you invest your life in the lives of other people.